This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Paul Gover, I'm going to call you, Paul, a doyen.
Oh, don't do that.
Are you there happy to be called a doyen?
No, I'm not. By you, I'm happy to be called anything, Macca, but there was a journalist some years ago, and the doyen thing was a derogatory term because this particular gentleman was the man who used to send the wine back because it wasn't good enough and was always late and was more of a prima donna than a doyen. So if you're taking it in a positive sense, I'll take it.
Okay.
Of course we're taking it positively.
So now, as you know, Paul, there's a certain rule I can't talk about. My brand?
No, of course not.
Right. But what I want to talk about, Tass loves talking to you because Tass, you know, really doesn't have any knowledge about cars. If you asked him what he sort of car he had, he might know the brand, but he'd tell you the colour and he'd say, oh, it's a blue one.
Yes.
Oh,
I didn't do that. Our producer did that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you the first question, Paul.
Yep.
What's hot on the roads at the moment?
What's hot on the roads at the moment is mid-size SUVs, sadly. And I say sadly because they're not my favourite things. They're not particularly good as motor vehicles. They're hot. Luxury cars are pretty hot at the moment. There's a bit of interest in sports cars and things. I think what we're seeing is two things. There's people who are buying a car because they have a family and they need something, and they're increasingly going for SUVs. And then there are people like those wonderful cashed-up people in Sydney whose houses are worth three times as much as they should be, and they're extracting money out of their mortgage to go and buy themselves a reward because they're not going to move their house. So they're buying a luxury car or a sports car, something like that.
And so what is the highest-selling car at the moment? Because clearly not everybody can afford a...
It's a ute.
A ute?
Not a car.
It's a Toyota Hilux ute.
Really?
Yeah, it makes me vomit, yes.
So what's that about? Why has the market moved towards wanting to drive a ute?
One of my colleagues called them cashed-up bogans and single dads, and he's partly right. Basically, there are people now who used to have like a box trailer they towed around on the back of a car. They're now looking at these utes and figuring that they look tough and they look like they're going out in the desert. And so they're buying something that can do two or three jobs at once. So they're buying a four-seat passenger car, so they're buying one of those extra cab utes. They're buying a four-wheel drive because they want to go off-road, and they're buying a ute with the carrying capacity on the back. Now, if you know anything about life, if you're trying to get something to do three jobs at once, it's not going to do any of them particularly well, but they don't care. And it's actually the upscale utes that are doing really well.
Yeah.
It's not just the basic ones, you know, for tradies. The Ford, the top-line Ford Ranger is the most popular one with a 12-month waiting list at the moment.
Jeez.
Outrageous. And if you think about it, we're supposed to be greening our world. Well, these things are terrible for fuel economy. From a safety point of view, I just heard you talking to the gentleman from the police a second ago, they're more likely to roll over. They don't stop as well. They don't corner as well. But people don't care. They're buying into some sort of dream. And they love these things, and I guess good luck to them because it's not my dream.
Now, you know, Paul, I've got he's not going to like this, but Tass would like nothing better than looking at an attractive male tradie in a ute. Isn't that true, Tass?
Stop projecting, Macca. Now, Paul, I'm trying to understand the psychology behind this shift towards driving this beast on the roads. What is it about what's occurring in our society at the moment where people are choosing, whether it be single dads or cashed up bogans or whatever, why are they wanting to drive these big 3-in-1 vehicles?
Well, makes them feel like they're well endowed in the reproductive area.
The old small man syndrome.
Well, I'm not saying you can say that, but I mean, from a practical point of view, they're not very comfortable as four-seater sedan.
Well, of course not.
From a ute point of view, the tray's not very big, and from an off-road point of view, most of them are pretty rubbish. So why are they buying them? They're buying them because they make themselves feel good, and then they reverse engineer the reasons why they bought it. You know, their psychology is, I want one of those because it makes me look good and feel tough and all of that. And then they go, oh, the great thing is I don't have to have a trailer and I can do this. And it's all, what's it called, MACAP, post-purchase rationalisation.
Yeah,
post-purchase rationalisation.
At the end of the day, they're buying something that they just because they like it. And, I mean, that's terrific if they do. But at some point there's going to be a backlash the other way where people are going to go, you know what, this is not very good. I get emails all the time from people going, gee, my new big Toyota Hilux-y class thing doesn't get very good fuel economy. Why is that and why didn't they tell me? Well, because you're driving a truck on a commute where you should really be riding a bicycle, you know. They're the two extremes.
Paul, one of our listeners has sent an email in and asks, can you explain some of the new safety technologies like emergency braking, lane assist, adaptive cruise control? Are they some of the reasons why people are choosing to buy these trucks?
Absolutely not. Most of them don't have it. And not only that, not only don't have it, cannot have it. The sort of technology you're talking about, and we'll go back to the brand that we're not allowed to mention with the three-pointed star,
yes.
they have done a lot of research on most of this stuff, and most of this technology you're talking about started off in the three-point star and brands similar to them. Basically, what's happening is the car now has its own set of eyes with radar and LiDAR and visual cameras, and so it can anticipate what's going to happen a lot better than you can. So basically, those technologies that you've had an email about are basically the car being able to monitor what's going around itself and then making much quicker calculations than you can. So getting back to the police thing, when the person's got their phone in their lap and they're doing social media and not watching the road like they should be, the radar at the front of the car goes, if he doesn't put his foot on the brake or she doesn't put their foot on the brake, we're going to hit the car in front, so it automatically brakes for you. So basically all of these technologies are quite high-tech systems, but they're intended to stop the stupid errors that everybody makes day to day. You know,
Aren't they in these trucks, given that that's what people are buying?
Okay, because those trucks, one, they're cheap. Two, they don't have that sort of engineering and technology in them, because when the companies involved who will make these things, and they're predominantly coming out of Japan, there's going to be a lot more out of Korea and China and that sort of stuff. But they're basically, some of them are engineered in Australia. Actually, the Ford Ranger is engineered in Australia. But the fact is they don't need to have all those things for the people who buy them, because they're not buying them.
So what you're saying is that in the eyes of some people, these are all about how they look rather than how they perform and what they deliver in terms of safety and fuel economy and all those sorts of things that we value.
Yeah, that's correct. And the other thing is, probably it doesn't apply to you if you're as bad on the motoring front as Macca says you are, but most people think they drive brilliantly well and they don't need this safety stuff because they're never going to have a crash. You see? And this is a mentality with, you know, nobody's a bad lover and nobody's a bad driver.
Yes, of course.
Many years ago, I used to work at Hyundai, and in those days, the car that we sold the most of came with a driver's airbag, and optionally, you could pay extra to get a passenger side airbag to protect the person riding in the car with you. Well, nobody bought the things, and the only way we could get them to buy it was actually to bundle the airbag in with a CD player at the time. Because everybody said, well, I'm not going to pay, you know, I'm a great driver. Freddie, who's, well, in fact, Macca will say it. Macca pointed. Macca says he's a great driver, but you're not very good at all. And that's why safety is so hard and why it needs to be embedded in the car. Safety stuff should never, ever be optional, because if you give people a choice between leather seats and an anti-braking thing that's going to
save they'll take leather seats, always, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. And so the other thing...
It's all about how it feels and how good it makes me look.
They'd rather pleasure their ass than save it.
Ooh, I like that. You've been sitting there thinking about that for 10 minutes.
You heard that here first.
I'll use that. The other thing is that a lot of these cars, the systems that are required to make these things run, they have to run a very fast computer onboard diagnostic system on the car. Well, they simply won't put that into a ute because the base model one doesn't need it. There are a couple of cars in Australia at the moment that should have reversing cameras fitted to them, you know, so you don't back over your friend or whatever in the driveway. I was never going to say kids and whatever, and wondering if that's appropriate. But anyway, backing over your dog or your cat or your kids or whatever in the driveway. There are some cars that can't have a reversing camera, even though the company wants them to have one, because the electronic system in the car is not supporting it, right? So this is the thing. Like all these things with technology, we're in a transitional phase. You're talking to the policeman, and you go, if I had my way, when you got in the car, when you turned it on, it would turn off all your phones.
I agree.
All that other stuff. It just should not work because it's too much of a temptation.
Yeah.
We're all in love with ourselves, you know, our electronics. And the only way to stop people doing it, you know, something nobody's raised with the police, the road toll went up over the last 2 years in Victoria. Speeding didn't get worse. People falling asleep didn't get worse. What was the one thing that actually happened? More people are using their phones on the road when they shouldn't be. To me, it's simple. It's cause and effect.
Now,
you know,
I've been wanting to say this for a long time. Paul, shut up.
Yes. Paul, we actually love having you on because you make motoring and cars interesting. And I think you should come into the studio sometime and spend a good half hour with us.
I think I'd definitely like to do that. Next time I'm down in Melbourne, I'll make sure I hang around.
Excellent.
Saturday, actually, Mackie, cook me dinner. We can have one of our Lewis Hamilton memorial dinner on the Friday, and then come in and do that.
He makes a mean roast pork. I can vouch for that.
He's actually a pretty good cook all around. Which is surprising. Really,
yeah, it is a bit, really, isn't it?
What, you think?
He doesn't have much patience. I mean, he's just told me to shut up, and then said, "Oh, but please, can you come in?"
Paul, thank you very much. We look forward to having you on again.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.